You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized.
Hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and I am here solo, guys, to talk about some, I don't even want to call them starts and sits for week 16, more of guys that could give you a nice boost maybe in DFS or if you're in consolation matchups. I don't think this is one for the championship teams, and the only reason I say that is because at this point, guys, if you're in the ship, you're trusting what you've got, you're not rolling the dice on possibilities. If you're in tough matchups, you've probably already thought through them. And if not, run them by us. We have a few questions in our queue. Those will be answered before your Saturday games and even your Sunday games. But we look at these guys because we want you to have an idea. If you're playing DFS, if you're in a consolation matchup, and in a lot of leagues, consolation matchups are worth something. So don't just throw in the towel. Think about it, maybe draft picks next year or your draft order. A lot of leagues do that where you get to pick your spot in the draft based on that order. Some leagues do inverse standings, but I would never advise you to throw a matchup. But again, you guys do you, and we hope you guys are still going strong. We hope you're in the championship, although we know it's probably not possible to get all of you there. But without further ado, guys, I'm going to jump right into it. I just want to talk about some QBs, running back, wide receiver, and a little tight end, just guys that, you know, good matchups, good stats. Again, not guys that I'm necessarily advocating playing over, you know, your weekly studs, even if they may have tough matchups. But just guys I think that if you're in consolation matchups, what the hell, you want a little upside, maybe it gets you a better draft pick. It never hurts, especially with how the draft may shake out next year. So, guys, let's talk quarterback. I think the top guy, and you probably are not using him or in the spot if you're in the championship, but I could be wrong. Jameis Winston, guys, he gets the Texans. He's fantasy's number QB, overall QB4 through 15 weeks. He's going to be just fine. We're not worried about his practice time, despite a questionable tag. He's going to be leading the charge here against the Texans, who are not great on pass defense. That's not news to anybody who's been playing fantasy football this year. And they are 30th in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, courtesy of Roto World. So obviously, big numbers. We saw it from Lamar Jackson, even Drew Locke, Tom Brady, Jacoby Brissett was not as great. He's really the only exception since week 10 that's kind of been a letdown. But QB 4, 7, 5, and 2 respectively between Tannehill, Locke, Brady, and Jackson. So pretty good stats, obviously something you can do here. Also, 49.5 point total is the third highest on the board here. So I think it's going to be a fun Saturday game and good opportunity here if you're maybe playing some DFS to get some action in here for the team. Other options, guys, Ryan Tannehill versus the Saints since taking over in week 7. He is overall QB5 in fantasy points per game, and he had a great week against the Texans. We just talked about him 2 seconds ago. So again, I'm not going to go through the matchup, you know, spot by spot, but even Kyle Allen went 256 and 3 touchdowns in week 11. Like, there's no reason to believe that Ryan Tannehill can't get it done for you guys. So a nice little option. Kyler Murray, I think, is also another interesting guy. 4 multi-touchdown games over his last 6 outings. He is currently QB11 in fantasy points per year. A slight nod to you here, Matt. And we know you are a Kyler believer, heavily invested in him. So maybe a nice way to wrap things up for him. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I don't think he's a bad option here if you wanna roll the dice. There are definitely better options than Kyler Murray. But depending on where you are, if you want a cheaper DFS play, I'm not looking at prices in front of me. I think he could be a good option. I think ultimately, guys, you're two big sits of the week that you may have been rolling with. Baker Mayfield against the Ravens. He's been under 249 yards in 9 of his last 11 games. Just 300-yard passing days on the year. And he gets the Ravens. So enough said on him. Josh Allen as well gets the Patriots. He has been a great fantasy QB, guys, this season. Unfortunately, with the fantasy playoffs here and championships, consolation, whatever it may be, Josh Allen's not your guy. The Patriots have been fine. I know they've shown some cracks, if you will, with some Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson points. But overall, I don't think he can do it in Foxborough. I think you got to stay away and look elsewhere if you were even considering rolling him there. Let's move on, guys, and let's talk running back. Marlon Mack, start of the week, no question. Since returning from the hand injury in week 14, guys, he has a combined 24 for 57 in one rushing line with zero catches in back-to-back road games against the Bucs and Saints. The great thing for Mack owners is this is a get-right spot. And if you're in the championship as a get-right spot here, I don't know if you could have a better one. Carolina is dead last in run defense, 30th in rushing yards allowed, dead last in opponent yards per carry, and dead last in rushing touchdowns allowed. That's fantasy points galore for Marlon Mack owners. You own him. He's obviously in your lineups anyway. A great DFS play for those of you that are looking for some nice lineup options. Some other starts, guys. Raheem Mostert versus the Rams. He's the number one guy in this backfield. We saw it in the 49ers loss to the Falcons. He played 53% of the snaps, scores a touchdown. He seems to be the guy. Breida fumbled twice, so obviously that leads him to a little bit, I don't want to call punishment, but a little less touches. I think there's no reason to not expect him to lead the charge. And the Niners are 6.5 home point favorites, so you got to think that they're going to run the ball a decent amount. I think Raheem is the guy here, and I think you can roll him out with confidence in your lineups. I think you may have been doing that already, so not a surprise start. One that kills me, guys, I'm playing against him, unfortunately, but Kenyon Drake at the Seahawks. We obviously last week we saw him go 146 yards and 4 touchdowns. I do not expect a 4-touchdown day again from Kenyon Drake. Obviously, anything is possible, but he actually looks good, which I think is the scariest part of it all. But since their week 11 bye, pretty much all the starting running backs have had strong games against the Seahawks. I expect him to be the lead back for the team. I think you can put him in your lineup with confidence. When it comes to sits, again, maybe this is an easy call out. Kareem Hunt, guys, he's averaging 11.3 touches per game and is overall running back 22 in half PPR formats since coming off suspension in week 10. Unfortunately, he's playing the Ravens, and I think he loses some of that upside, I think, in a championship week or even a consolation match where you're fighting for positioning. I think this is just one you got to chalk up to a bad option. So I think he's a sit for you. Look at your other options. Also think Patrick Laird is a no-go, guys. It's just been bad. He's at a 63.1% snap share. He's gone 10-5-1, 15-48-0, and 12-46-0. I don't know. He's caught some balls. I don't think you have any confidence. And you probably got burned last week. I know Walsh was a big believer. And rolled him out there and ultimately did not work out in his favor. On the receiving side of the ball, guys, Tyler Lockett goes for 8 and 120 and 1 on 9 targets against the Panthers. Wide receiver number 6 on the week. He has been a bit up and down here, guys. 3 monster 100-yard games, 4 of his 7 touchdowns in those 3 games. But supposedly he is healthy. The Cardinals are not good against the pass. You know, we've seen Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Emmanuel Sanders, Golden Tate. They've all played well against the Cardinals, and I think there's no reason to believe that Tyler Lockett does not do it again. He is a high wide receiver too. I think arguably one of the better starts of the week. Rashad Perryman, guys, gets the Texans. Mike Evans is obviously down. Chris Godwin, we've seen lots and lots of injuries. The Texans, as we have touched on, are bad against the pass. We watched Perryman do it last week. He's going to be a mid wide receiver two, maybe a low wide receiver. Yeah, probably let's call him a low wide receiver two, maybe a high three. But I think you can put him in your lineup again. Championship week, I don't know how confident I am there, but I think if I'm in a consolation, you're shooting for the stars, baby. So I think he's in your lineup, and I think you can roll the dice. As far as sits go, guys, OBJ, again, I'm hitting the Browns because they're freaking easy, is a sit. He's been a disappointment as it is. He gets the Ravens, so he's a no-go for me. John Brown against the Patriots, we just talked about the Bills not being so so great of a play here in the playoffs, and unfortunately his usability here is not great. Number one in pass defense, number two in passing yards allowed, and number one in fantasy points given up to wideouts. Only three receivers have scored touchdowns against the Patriots all season. I don't expect John Brown to break that trend. So him, Josh Allen, all no good. Kenny Golladay, I think, is the third guy here, guys, that you can't feel great about. Lions traveling to Denver. They are big underdogs. They have actually played pretty well against the pass, despite what we watched, have seen in the past. The Chiefs went in there and did their thing last week. They are the number 8 in fantasy points surrendered to wideouts. Detroit's implied total is 15.5 points, second lowest of the week. He's going to get Chris Harris. I just don't think you can have a ton of confidence. You may not have a better option, but I think that, again, that depends on where you are and who your matchups and options are, guys. Excuse me. Little yawn caught me off guard. And then tight end, guys, the biggest crapshoot of them all. Start of the week, dare I say, picking on the Texans, O.J. Howard. The balls have to go somewhere, right? Howard has looked at three pretty good back-to-back-to-back receiving numbers, 5 for 61, 4 for 73, and 4 for 46. He's averaging 6 targets a game over that stretch. You've got to think he's due for some touchdown regression here. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Scotty Miller are all out with injuries. And even Jameis Winston said he needs some help here coming from Howard and even Cameron Brate in the passing game. We talked about Perryman, but I think that there's no reason O.J. Howard can't find the end zone here against a bad Texans defense. As a whole, I expect a ton of points from the Buccaneers. Fantasy-wise, I think Winston is throwing the ball, and I think there's a lot of fantasy upside on that offense. The Texans just give up points, guys, and it's hard to argue against it. Other tight ends I like, Jonnu Smith, guys, versus the Saints, since Delanie Walker went down in Week 7. He's been a bit sporadic, to say the least. He's had 0 for 0 days, one touchdown games mixed in. I think he's just, the looks are going to be there. I think Adam Humphries being out helps for him. The Saints are number 8 in fantasy points allowed to tight ends. I think just the amount that he is on the field is the biggest win for Jonnu Smith if you're rolling the dice on tight end. Again, if you're in a serious matchup in the championship here, I hope you have a somewhat better option. But again, I don't think it's I think you could do worse. O.J. Howard may very easily be on your wire. Jacob Hollister, guys, versus the Cardinals. He faces the Cardinals in championship weekend. Arizona surrendered the 4th most catches for the most yards, most touchdowns, and most fantasy points to tight ends this season. He will be heavily owned in DFS, as I expect. There is no reason to expect that he is going to be a letdown here. Even TJ Hockenson, 6 for 131 of 1, who was a disappointment otherwise, made it happen. There's no reason to believe that this isn't it. So if you can get Hollister or you want to trust Hollister, put him in your lineup. And I quite frankly don't think that there's a sit on the tight end scale. Well, that's not true. There's always sits on the tight end scale. But if you're spinning the fucking wheel, just fucking spin it. I gave you a couple options that are probably on your wire, cheap. They may have been picked up already, whatever. This is it, guys. Championship week. So trust your gut. Go out there. Find the matchups. I know it's some of the names here were a bit irrelevant, or some of them were just easy calls and easy picks. But I think there were a few in there that if you're looking for options, great. Again, I don't know that there's really anybody in here that would influence my decisions if I was in a championship this week. But for those of you that are not, or that are playing for DFS, some cheap options, some guys that maybe they're high-owned, but they're great plays and you just didn't realize, I think some good DFS tips there as well. Although I am not Walsh, when it comes to DFS, occasionally I do all right. So, guys, with it being championship weekend, keep your eyes peeled. We have an injury update dropping as well, along with episode 300 with myself, Vinny, and Walsh, where we are going to absolutely kill it. We're looking forward to it and looking forward to doing it with you guys. It's been one hell of a ride. We hope to hear about some championship wins on Sunday night and Monday. And keep us in the loop. Send the questions in, guys. And as always, make us fucking proud, guys. So for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, guys, I am Nick Schreck. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.